All right. Amen. John chapter 7. You can go and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. That's nice. That's nice right there. I like that. Go Gators. All right. John chapter 7. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Brother Lapine and I think it ought to be fitting to start off the service with an invitation about CDLs. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. I drive a bus every Sunday morning for our bus ministry. Brother Judah has a CDL, I believe. My 79-year-old deaf dad has his CDL. He does. We don't let him drive the bus anymore, but he does still have a CDL. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and close. No, I'm just kidding. All right, we just have a little fun with that. As soon as y'all started that, I leaned over to Brother Lapine and said, man, some things never change. Amen. And I was always too young to get my CDL when I was here. But anyway, it's great to be back here at Howells Anderson College. I thank God for this place, and I appreciate the impact it's had on America and the world. And I was here from 94 to 97, and what a blessing it is to still see men like Brother Lapina still here after all these years, just faithfully serving the Lord. I mean, he was here when I was a student, and I'm just honored and grateful to be here. And I'm just so thankful for men that have just stayed by the stuff. And you're blessed to be here. Right? A lot of good memories here. My favorite one is meeting that beautiful lady right there in the front row. We had many chapel dates. A lot of great dreams happened in this room. Amen. And now 22 years of marriage later and four kids, we are, I appreciate the maintenance department giving us flashlights today. When you've been married as long as we have and kids ministry, I think we've maybe lost our way. And so we need some flashlights. But where's the maintenance department? Are they here? Did they come to chapel? They don't come to chapel, do they? They're working on stuff, right? They're working on all the stuff you broke. Amen. Who lives on Malone 2? Is Malone 2 still okay? I'm glad to know it's still functioning after the years that me and my friends lived there. But anyway, it's great to be here. John chapter 7 this morning. And I appreciate all the friends I have here, Brother King and Brother Collins. Love Brother Wilkerson, of course, Brother Judah back there, and our dear friends. We get to preach together quite a bit. In fact, it looks like we're going to be preaching together in January, and I'm not going for the preaching. I'm going to snow ski, amen, and then I'll just show up and say a few words. But anyway, we thank the Lord for what he's doing at the youth conference and all that stuff. It's great. I do want to give you just a quick testimony about where I have been this week. One of the reasons it works out for us to come over here in October is I've been preaching a missions conference all week for Pastor Bill Clark, and I appreciate some of you coming out and supporting that meeting a little bit. But Pastor Bill Clark is an amazing man of God. He's been at the same church for 48 years. Last night, before I preached, a man by the name of Pastor Augler got up and preached. And listen, how many of you are pastors in training, young preachers, pastors? Listen to me, all right? You got a lot of great wisdom here, but 45 minutes from here, there's two pastors that combined together have been in the ministry 98 years. With Augler, 50 years, Pastor Clark, 48 years. And I got to preach in a service last night where both of them were present in that service. That's just amazing, amazing. And I'm just going to throw this out here because I feel led of the Holy Spirit, if you don't mind me just sharing, taking a minute. I don't preach along. But Pastor Bill Clark is going through some health problems right now. He'd probably kill me. Does this go out online? Does this go out on the internet? He won't. He doesn't know how to turn on the computer, I don't think. But anyway, I think I'm safe. But Pastor Bill Clark has been battling some health problems lately. He's having some extreme bouts with vertigo. He's one of the most amazing men I've ever met. He's beat cancer 3 times in his life. Pastored the same church for 48 years. The church runs about 100, but they gave almost $200,000 to missions last year. They sent out 20 million tracts in the last several years with their new track ministry they do, and it's 45 minutes from here in Bridgeview, Illinois. See, a lot of people don't realize it's those churches. And by the way, there's no such thing as a small church. Every church is a big church because it was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And anything that Jesus' blood is spent on is valuable. And so it's First Baptist Church of Bridgeview. It's easy to find. I think it would be a blessing if some of you young men and ladies even wrote him a card of encouragement and just said, you know, we had a chapel speaker mention you, and we just want you to know we thank you for your faithfulness. And I know what it's like being a college student, but even if you included a little gift card or a little cash in there, I've learned now, Brother Lupina, when I open up cards that I get, I open up this way, sideways, horizontally, and if nothing falls out, I just close the card and throw it away so I don't get bitter at the person for not getting me a gift. Something should always fall out of a card. Can I get an amen right there? But how many would do that, I think, as a favor to the Lord? How many would just write him a letter? Could I just get you going? Somebody raise your hand and committing to that. Look it up on Google, First Baptist Church, Bridgeview, Illinois, Pastor Bill Clark. And I love that man. I'm telling you, I just... Every once in a while, God lets you meet some men of God. I preach all these big conferences, and I get to go places he's never been. But Pastor Bill Clark, when I get to heaven, I hope God will let me shine his shoes. 48 years of ministry. Not quitting. Brother Judy, you'll be there Friday night. I promise you, you're going to love it. He's an amazing church. And so do that for the Lord and really for me and for Brother Clark. Just write him a note of encouragement. He hadn't been able to drive for 21 days. Did I already mention that? Okay, he hadn't been able to drive for 21 days right now because of some health issues, but still shows up to church and just an amazing man of God. So thank you if you do that. I appreciate it ahead of time. Just let him write him a note and let him know how much you love him. You appreciate his faithfulness, and boy, I love that man. All right, John 7, and it will not be real long. Thank God my family gets to come with me. Appreciate them singing that song. And Jesus, yes, what a wonderful name. Let's go ahead and stand together. Look at verse 40 of John chapter 7. We'll get right to the message. And we're supposed to be done by 11:55 or so, or right there. Okay, I'll be done plenty of time. 12:30. What time does Church Ed start? Ten minutes after I'm done. Do they still call it Church Bed, or is it actually Church? No, I'm just kidding. All right, Church Ed. When I was a student, we called it Church Bed. I shouldn't be saying that. But anyway, Church Ed is amazing. Learn from Church Ed. All right, I approve this message. Appreciate you, Brother Froakie. Thank you. Appreciate the Froakie so much. What a blessing they are. Verse 40, look at this in John chapter 7. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? Verse 46, our text verse, and I love this verse. The officers answered, and here's a statement. Never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. I want to preach briefly on the thought today of what language did Jesus speak? What language did Jesus speak? Father, help us this morning. Thank you for these young people, Lord. It really does feel like just yesterday I was sitting back then in pews dreaming about what you would do with my life. And Lord, I'm just so thankful that there's still a Hiles Anderson College and that there's young men and young ladies that are on fire for you and want to do what's right. Keep them clean, keep them pure, help them to resist the world, help them to stand for you. And may they hit 44 years old someday and be in the ministry 20 plus years and have children and look back and say, wow, look what God hath wrought and what a blessing you've been if you tarry. Lord, I pray for Pastor Clark at this time. Bless Brother Wilkerson as he's traveling. Keep him safe. Thank you for the leadership of this place. Encourage our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It is often said that if you know three languages, you are trilingual. If you know two languages, you are bilingual. And if you know one language, you are an American. And so I do, out of just curiosity, how many of you today are multilingual people? I am, obviously, bilingual. Great, great. All right, I know English and American Sign Language. I actually tell people all the time I know three languages. I know English, American Sign Language, half of Spanish. Gloria a Dios, Jesucristo es mi corazón. Vamos al cielo, sí, amen. Yo. I love Spanish. And then I know half of woman. And so, and I think I'll master Spanish before I master woman. But anyway, how many women say that? Hey, that's not fair. I don't understand man, right? Some of y'all don't understand man, all right? But I speak English, use sign language. Sign language is actually my native language. And there's a lot of debate about what language Jesus spoke or used in his day. And the most popular discussion, if you Google it, is Aramaic. And he was familiar with Hebrew. He also knew possibly Koine Greek and even Latin and different languages of those days. He was multilingual, no doubt about that. But today I want to do something a little different by way of introduction to this message. How many of you that do you raise your hand? You know, how many of you know something besides English today? Would you raise your hand? All right, how many of you know Spanish? All right, how many of you know something else besides English and Spanish? I know those are the two most popular languages. Good, okay. I want to have a little fun. What are some languages y'all know that's different? I love language. What's that? Arabic? Who knows Arabic? All right, good. Who knows yes, what do you know? French, okay, all right. Let's have a few of you just stand up and you're in a language besides English. Stand up real quickly, say what language you are speaking and just say, hello, how are you, or Jesus loves you. And I'm going to have Clara come up real quickly. Clara, come on up here, my baby. She's my 11-year-old, and she's going to stand right up here, and she's going to sign for you. Why don't you come stand up here by Daddy? And we'll just have a few of you just stand up and in your language say whatever, hello, how are you, or Jesus loves you, so we can all hear different languages. All right, I need someone in Spanish in this section. Spanish, go ahead and stand up and say Jesus loves you or how are you real quickly, real loudly. Cristo te ama. That's Jesus loves you in Spanish. Is that correct, Spanish-speaking people? All right, very good. All right, what other language we had? French. Go ahead and stand up and say French and then whatever language it is. Say it again. Je vous aime. All right, I learned a French phrase one time in Canada. I better not share it here. No? Okay. My wife, Sus Emily, said no. All right. Any other languages in this section right here? Yes, ma'am. German. Wonderful. Okay. They get this. Yeah. Wonderful, and that's German for Jesus loves you. How are you? Okay, she chose how are you. Very good. In this section, yes. Jesus loves you in German. Great, thank you very much. Anybody else in this section know a different language? Yes, sir. Thai, wonderful. Can you stand up and say one of those phrases real loud? Very good. That was Jesus loves you. All right. Yes, ma'am. Nacholi, and what does that mean? Acholi. I thought you were saying nachos for a second. That got me hungry for a second. All right. All right. Acholi. And what language is that? Wow. That's amazing. Thank you so much. Anybody else in the man? This section alone has got a bunch. Yeah. What's up, Jim? Yes. Yes. What? What? Greek. All right. What? Greek. Hello. How are you? And she said that. Thank you very much. Good, man. We got quite a few. Yes. Back there. I see. What's that language? What language you got? What? Wonderful. Let me hear you something. Ooh. Sound like you were ordering something at McDonald's right there. That was a blessing there, so very good. That's awesome, all right? Anybody else have a language? Way back there. Yes, sir. What you got? What language is that? West Africa. Wonderful. That's great. I'm amazed how many different languages we have represented in this college. This is, yes, sir. I know you're missionary. You got Portuguese, right? Yes. All right, good. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are you all saying Jesus loves me or how are you in the whatever language? All right, we're not going to repeat languages, okay? We're looking for new language now. What was that again? Why, is that Hindu? Wow. Thank you. Hindi, I'm sorry. Hindi. I haven't had much sleep lately. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir. What language? Bulgarian. Wow. All right, let's do one or two more for sake of time. Yes, ma'am. What do you got? Right here. Yes, ma'am. Wow. What language? Wow. That's amazing. Very good. All right, one last one right here. Yes, sir. Japanese. All right, we'll do one more. One more back there, way back. Yes, thank you, sir. Yes. Oh, man, he's doing it sign language. All right, very good. She's going to do it a lot better. No offense, buddy. All right, praise the Lord for that. All right, go and scoot up a little bit. All right. This, you did good, though. That was good. All right, Claire, how are you? Jesus loves you. Isn't that good? Man, that's awesome. Thank you, baby. Thank you so much. Languages. Can I dump my coat? Can I dump my coat? Okay. All right. I'm stopping right there. I promise you that. All right. All right. And I will not be putting a tie on my head today, Brother Eddie. Okay. I promise you that. No, I'm not taking no. Stop. Stop. All right. John chapter 7, we see an amazing passage. Jesus has just been enlightening, of course, with his doctrine. He's teaching the word of God. And at this particular point, the Pharisees and chief priests are very jealous of him. They've always been jealous of him. So they send officers to go observe him with the intent, most likely they may have had shackles with him or ties with him, to arrest Jesus Christ. And every time Jesus stood up to speak, it almost seemed like he was in the range of possibly being arrested at any given time. And there's even times in the Gospels where he had to escape. And the reason I wanted you to hear all these different languages is this. Watch this now. We heard different languages say Jesus loves you and how are you. But we don't realize, we take for granted how much this world speaks English. But when you travel outside this country, it's amazing the languages we have in this world. And we take for granted the gift of language. To be able to communicate, and I take it personal, my mother and father have never heard in their life. My father has never heard my family sing. My father's never heard noise really at all. But I'm thankful that somebody started sign language so that my father and I can talk to each other and I can tell him that I love him. And now I've got a little 3-year-old niece who's profoundly deaf and my sister's baby girl, 5 generations of deafness. And watch that little 3-year-old girl who won't be able to speak English but able to take her hands and she's signing with her Uncle Randy and we talk and communicate. Boy, that language is amazing. Can I say something? Some of you want to be missionaries. Thank God that you're going to learn that language. Some of you are missionary kids. Thank God that we can take the gospel and go to this world and present the gospel in multiple languages. But that's not the debate today. That's not the language Jesus was speaking in this chapter here. The language I present to you today is simply this. I believe what made Jesus separate and what you all would do well to learn this in your ministry as soon as you can, because I wish I had learned it younger in my life. I've learned it over the last several years that has changed my ministry is this. Jesus spoke, watch this now, heart language. He spoke heart language. What would drive some officers, men that are used to arresting people, men who are probably strong and physical and had the law behind them, to go to a place and to say, okay, as soon as he's done speaking, we're going to arrest this man, take him before the Pharisees and the chief priests, and we're going to have a day with him, and we're going to find out really who he thinks he is. And then in just a span of a few minutes, they hear this man speak, and they go back to the authorities, and the question is asked, why did you not arrest him? And they make this statement, never man spake like this man. They did not mean he spoke in a different language. They did not even mean his doctrine was even questionable, because Jesus, of course, was teaching a lot of Old Testament principles, and he taught the Bible. He was sealing the deal of the Old Testament, and he was talking about himself, and he was talking about the waters of life, and he was teaching doctrine that maybe even the Pharisees, if they would have listened, would have adhered to. But what separated Jesus from the Pharisees, what separated Jesus from the chief priests, what separated Jesus from all the religious leaders of this world is when Jesus spoke, he did not speak from here, he spoke from here. And anytime someone speaks from their heart, it cannot be heard with the mind of a man, it's heard from the heart of man. And that's why when you take the gospel to any number of countries in Africa, or you take the gospel to a French-speaking people, which I've preached in Canada before, in French-speaking part of Canada, it doesn't matter the language you're speaking. Make sure every time you work with that bus kid, make sure every time you preach on a night bus, make sure every time you minister in a jail, make sure every time you preach or teach the Bible, that before you get ready to open that Bible and preach the doctrine and tell the truth, make sure it comes from right here. The greatest heart language of all time was said to one man in the middle of the night. It was Jesus speaking to Nicodemus in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is that verse? It's heart language. What is that verse where Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost? That's heart language. What is that verse where Jesus says, suffer the little ones to come unto me? What is that? That's heart language. What is Jesus when he stopped and the multitudes were behind him and he says, stop, virtue hath left me, and he reaches around and he helps a woman who's been sick for a long time? That's heart language. What is Jesus when he takes some fishes and hush puppies and feeds the multitudes? That's heart language. Hey, I'm simply saying, while he's dying on the cross, hanging on the cross, he looks to the thief and says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He cares for his mama. Jesus was a master of heart language. That's the language Jesus spoke. And as a husband and a father, a pastor and a preacher and a Christian, I have failed many times to speak heart language to that lady and the 4 children that call me dad. And to the people that call me pastor, I have failed many times. But boy, Lilipina, the older I get, the more I want to make sure I speak with heart language. And that doesn't mean compromising or going soft. The truth can be preached with heart language. Jesus was the perfect balance of grace and truth. We still can preach hell hot and heaven sweet in heart language. We can still preach that Jesus is coming back in heart language. We can still preach against sin with heart language. We can still preach against drunkards and alcoholics in heart language. We can still take a stand on the political realm and combat the liberalism in this country. But we can do it with heart language. Number one today, what language did Jesus speak? He spoke heart language. Number two, I want you to notice real quickly, he spoke helpful language. He always spoke helpful language.
When Jesus spoke, he spoke to help people. And that means sometimes the truth. The truth doesn't always feel good, but it'll help you. When I go to the doctor sometimes or the dentist and there's something wrong with me, they've got to tell me the truth. They're not telling me that to hurt me. They're telling me that to help me. And Jesus always spoke with helpful language. You know what I love about the book of John? John chapter 3, you have Jesus one-on-one with a Nicodemus, a man of clout, a man of influence, a man of power, a man of renown. But the very next chapter, he goes out of his way and he walks into an area that no Jews went to. It's a half-breed. She's a Samaritan. This woman at the well, she was even astounded that Jesus was even there. And when Jesus said, "Give me to drink," she looked at him and said, "Don't you know that I'm a Samaritan and the Jews have no dealings?" And Jesus says, "Ma'am, I'm fixing to introduce you to something that's really precious. It's called heart language." And Jesus loved on that woman who'd been married 5 times and was shacking up. Jesus cared about that woman. Jesus gave her the real water, and that woman left, and a whole town got saved. Why? Because Jesus spoke heart language, and Jesus spoke helpful language today. Christianity gets a bad rap sometimes, I think, because our spirit isn't necessarily right. But if we'd preach the gospel again with heart language, if we'd preach the gospel with the intent of helping people, if we'd preach this Bible to help that lost sinner. Can I tell you something? I didn't grow up like many of you did. I was sprinkled as a baby, baptized 3 times. I grew up in all these different religions and different churches, having a deaf mom and dad. People don't reach the deaf. I was confused. But thank God a pastor who was a graduate of this college, by the way, Pastor Jim Klein, started a church in Pennsylvania. While I was there in college football scholarship, I went to a Baptist church for the first time in my life, and he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel with a heart language. He preached with helpful language. At 18 years old, this lost sinner got saved, and 2 months later went to Bible college, and less than 4 years is pastoring a church. Why? Because somebody helped me. They spoke helpful language. Number one today, Jesus spoke heart language. Number two, he spoke helpful language. Number three, look at John chapter 8, he spoke hopeful language. I love this passage. John chapter 8, he spoke hopeful language. Every time Jesus spoke, he gave you hope. He spoke, and when you left, you had hope. The Samaritan had hope. Everybody that left Jesus' presence left having hope. I love this story. John 8, verse 1, read with me there. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees, here they are again. What a blessing they are. Amen. They always show up. They always out there. Brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say to him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." Stop. I got a question. If she was caught in the very act, where was the man? Isn't that interesting? Where was the man? I mean, she's caught in the very act. Where's the man at? I'm just asking that out loud. In verse number 5, "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou?" Haven't these guys learned yet? You ain't going to win against Jesus. Duh. And the Bible says this, they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when he continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I heard preachers all over want to know what he was writing on the ground. I believe with all my heart he was giving football plays. He's like, "All right, Peter, you're going to do a 10 and out. John, I want to catch you on the post." They were playing backyard football when that mess happened right there. Somebody say amen right there. And Jesus is riding on the ground, and they come and they present this woman to him. They throw her in the midst and they say, "Hey, here she is. She's been caught in the very act. Moses says stone her. Moses says she's guilty of this. Moses says to execute her. What do you say?" And Jesus makes a powerful statement. Why? Because he spoke it in heart language. Why? Because he spoke it in helpful language. Why? Because he knew the woman was listening to him and he wanted to give her some hope. He says, "He that was without sin first cast a stone." All right. Goes right back down to his business. I love the conversation that follows. Look at this. It says in verse number 10, "When Jesus had lifted him up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee." And by the way, let me just say this. Don't stop there. A lot of people say, "See, Jesus didn't judge that woman. He loved her, but he also says, go and sin no more." That's the balance. That's the balance of heart language. See, sometimes we can take it too far to the left, if you will. We have been presenting an unbalanced God for far too long in America. For years, maybe it was all about his wrath and not enough love. Today, it's all about his love and not about his wrath. Can I tell you something? God is a balanced God today. He's still holy. Help me now. And Bible college students ought to be listening to holy things and talking holy things. God's still a holy God. Help me. Don't get quiet on me there. God's still a holy, righteous God. God still hates sin. But thank God he's a God of love. And he's a God of mercy. And he's a God of compassion. And America has got to see this balanced God again. And that's exactly what Jesus does here. Here's a woman. She has no hope. The law has condemned her. But the Lord is there at the right time. And he shows her some love. He shows her some compassion. And thank God, he looks at her and says, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. And her life was changed. Why? She wanted some hope. And Jesus gave her hope. You know what this world wants today? Just a little bit of hope. Just a little bit of hope. I read an article a while back that broke my heart. Home life situation was a mess, and the police broke into this house to save this little girl, and they caught their parents, all drugs strewn out, weapons everywhere, just a messed up life. When the policeman began to interview this little four-year-old girl, they said, what is your name? She's looked up at them and said, my name is Idiot. You know why she thought her name was Idiot? Mom and dad been calling her Idiot all this time. I was driving our bus because I have a CDL. I was driving our bus recently and I was taking her, I parked that bus. Hey man, I did park the bus. I was taking our teens out on teen sowing one day and I pulled up the bus in one of our neighborhoods near our church and I was sitting there waiting for the teens to come back to the bus and a little 3 or 4 year old boy ran up to the bus and knocked on the door. And I opened the door and I said, how can I help you, son? He said, hey, my dad's in prison. I don't know where my mama is. Can I get a hug? I know you got to be careful in these days, but forget all that junk. I said, come on up here, little boy. He sat on my lap for about a minute and just hugged me. What would compel a 3 or 4 year old boy to go to a complete stranger and ask for a hug? Why? He just wanted some hope. Can I tell you something? Those people live in Chicago, they want some hope. The country you're going to go to as a missionary, they just want some hope. That church you're going to pastor in that town is full of people. I don't care if it's rural or urban. I don't care if it's ghetto or not. I don't care what kind of race lives there. I've learned one thing. Mankind has problems, and devil has no problem kicking them while they're down. And the devil wants to take as many of them as he can on the way to hell. But boy, if we could be a Christian like Jesus and speak with heart language and give them some help and give them some hope, we might make a difference. There might be some revival. Hey, can I tell you something? Let's bring back heart language. Let's bring back hopeful language. Let's bring back helpful language. This world needs somebody to show them what Jesus is all about. Jesus is all about. Fine, number four, and I'm done. He spoke heavenly language. He spoke heavenly language. Almost every time Jesus spoke, it was the intent to show the eternal value that awaits them. I mean, he talks about lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. Why? That's heavenly language. Why would he go to this woman at the well who was seeking out, Brother Jonathan, seeking out physical water and give her spiritual water? Because that's heavenly language. Why would Jesus heal 10 lepers and then they would leave and one would come back and the Bible says all 10 were cleansed but the one that came back was made whole. He got saved because he came back to say thank you. Why? Because Jesus was a heavenly language speaker. Can I tell you something today? We've got a message that this world doesn't quite understand and we've got to get it out to them. There is hope. Hallelujah. John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world. I never get tired of this verse. That he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Heavenly language. Hey, there's still a hell, but thank God there's a heaven. Thank God there's no more sin. Thank God one day there'll be no more devil. I said there'll be no more devil. I said there'll be no more devil. Thank God one day a little kid won't need to knock on a bus and get a hug from the preacher. Hey, thank God we're going to see Jesus someday. We're going to walk on those streets of gold. We're going to be walking with Jesus forever, worshiping and praising him. Hey, heaven. Talking about heavenly language. Hey, we got a message of hope. We got a message of help. And we can speak it from our heart. This world's got to know there is hope. There is heaven. There is love. There is salvation. And Jesus, Jesus is still the answer today. He's still the answer today. He's still the answer. I think I've shared this before, but I grew up in dead churches where there was no heavenly language spoken. None at all. None. I was sprinkled as a baby. Baptized 3 times growing up. Went to a charismatic crusade one time as a 16, 17-year-old boy. My brother was about 14. We were football stars in our town, and a buddy invited us there. It was a Holy Ghost crusade. We went. Thought it would be cool to go to. They sat us right in the front. The invitation, they gave the invitation to come meet the Holy Ghost. My brother and I thought he sounded like a nice man. We didn't know any better. We came to the front. The pastor said, "You digging brothers want the Holy Ghost?" We said, "Sure." And a 400-pound woman laid on top of us to get the Holy Ghost. No offense, I was afraid of the Holy Ghost for a long time after that experience. True story. If you don't believe it, call Val Verde Baptist Church, Groves, Texas, Pastor Nick Diggin. He can verify that story is true. You see, I didn't have any hope. I was a 16-year-old football player with 3 boxes full of letters, college recruit letters, from Penn State University, right down the road, Illinois, Tennessee Volunteers. I had no way I was going to that place. Where's David Cowling at? Sorry, Brother Dave, no way. Sorry, Doc Cowling, sorry. All these letters, I was still empty inside. I remember getting on my knees by my bed at 16 years old and saying, "God, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be." And he heard that sinner's prayer, really. Because 2 years later, he sent a Baptist preacher who spoke from his heart, who helped me, who gave me some hope, and he talked about heaven. You know what he did? He reminded me of somebody I'd heard about, Jesus. Today, college student, young man, young lady, future missionary. Maybe some of you are just here for 1 year because you want to be a businessman. That's great. Maybe you want to be a pastor, an assistant pastor. It doesn't matter who you are. Could I challenge you to consider the possibility that we might change lives if we would speak more with heart language? If we would speak from our heart more than from our mind. The old saying says this, Dr. Cowling, think before you speak. But I want to take that a little further. Heart, then think, then speak. When it comes from here, you're usually not going to hurt somebody. Young person, I love you guys, and I believe the potential in this room is just unbelievable. Many of you I've preached through the years as teenagers, and I want to just tell you something today. God wants to use you in a miraculous way. And I sit here today and I think back to how 20 plus years ago I sat next to that lady in this chapel and dreamed about what God would do. And man, now I got to sing on this platform with some of my own children and to testify about the goodness of God. Why? Because somebody made a difference in my life and they spoke heart language. And then when I came here, I sat under Jack Hiles, who was a master speaking in heart language. Men like Bob Hooker, who changed my life with the football connection. Seeing Brother Lepina and his steadfastness and his faithfulness. Can I tell you something, young people? This world needs some more people to speak heart language. Heart language. Hey, what's wrong with you guys? We sent you to arrest him. Pharisees, chief priests. I can't explain it, but here's the deal. Never man spake like this man. Father, thank you for this truth today.